You may have heard that earlier interview we did with Jules Harding. She's a member of the band Good Live Live. What is it? Good Luck Live. Sorry, Good Luck Live. And she had a very honest conversation with us about this breast reduction surgery that she had. And she had to do it because she had severe back pain. And she was told by her medical aid, which is Momentum, that it's a procedure that's excluded because they treat it as kind of cosmetic surgery. So it's not really a necessary surgery, according to them. It's not a medical surgery, according to them. And even all her doctor's motivations, the pictures and so forth that were sent, none of it counted for anything. She paid 73,000 rand out of her pocket for a breast reduction.
I know somebody who went through, well, not exactly that, but who also had to fund the procedure out of their own pocket.
Yes.
And you know, when you see the struggle, you know, they are being told by medical practitioners that actually this is not just a cosmetic thing. This
yes,
is not for looks.
Yeah,
you know, this is you know, you have got to do this because if you don't do it, 1, 2, 3, 4 is going to happen.
Yes, yes.
And at that stage, they were having pains. They were having problems already. Fortunately, mm-hmm. there was a member of the family who was able to finance
sure.
that. And really, but there are a lot of women out there who are going through this too. As to why medical aid companies cannot finance this when doctors are saying this is a necessity, this is not, you know, a cosmetic procedure so that someone looks better. It's needed, it's necessary.
I have my theories as to why that's the case. I think it's kind of inherent sort of misogyny and patriarchy, sexism built into the system. But I want to bring into the conversation an expert who can give us more of a scientific reason as to why all of this is happening. And Professor Carol Benn is so well known for her work in this field. She deals a lot with women's surgery, largely, of course, with women who are suffering from some form of cancer, the other usually breast cancer. And she helps them through what is a very difficult process, emotionally, medically, and otherwise. And Prof, we thought we would bring you into the conversation because you also do breast reductions as part of your work, and you're a highly credible individual. I just want to ask, first of all, is there a reason that this should be seen only as a cosmetic procedure when doctors are telling us that there's a reason, a very important medical reason, that some women need this kind of breast reduction surgery?
So I think the first thing, so just to clarify, we'll always refer the breast reduction part of it to one of the plastics and recons in the team.
All right.
But I need to let people know that breast reductions for time immemorial have been considered as cosmetic, and this is really about health economics. So absolutely, it's about people making decisions around health economics, so many people wanting it, what are the complications of the procedure, and we've excluded it. So another topic not for today is gynecomastia, male breast, which is also excluded in most medical aids, which is not cosmetic at all for these poor men.
Yes,
but
yes.
The issues around the breast reduction are really interesting. So firstly, if you look at the anatomy, I always feel desperately sorry for women with massive breasts because inherently women develop bad posture. So this
yes.
is your friend with the back pain. If men had to imagine taking their arms out and putting a weight on their wrists and carrying that weight the whole day, over time they will not just be using the strength of their arm, but their back and their body, and they'll bend their elbows. So a woman with massive breasts hunches her shoulders in and develops a poor posture and consequently back pain. Never mind the fact of sweat under the armpits and the weight of the breast, and they also get discomfort at what we call along their pec muscle insertion.
Right.
So big breasts are a problem. There has to be T's and T's to any procedure. So do I think it's a functional procedure? Absolutely. What do I think are the terms and conditions that could apply? So firstly, I always say gravity is not women's friend, and neither is food. So we always look at BMI. If you can get your BMI under 30, that is considered essential
yes.
for a breast reduction.
Mm-hmm.
The larger your breasts, you need to understand that there are problems that you can lose your nipple areola complex, in that the bigger the breast and the more the distance between what we call, if you think about it, the clavicle and the areola, the nipple, the more chance you have of losing either the sensation or having actually losing that entire complex. So women have to be well counseled about that.
Right.
With young girls, particularly young girls whose breasts develop really quickly, you want your breast to have stopped growing for at least 2 years before you do the procedure, because what you don't want is to make the breast smaller and then have them grow again, and then you have to redo breast reduction.
Right.
There are potential complications in people who smoke and people who are diabetic. So in my opinion, it's an absolutely functional procedure. I think the reason why it's not paid is really around health economics. There's certain things that are excluded that people say we're not paying for in the story, and I absolutely get the heebie-jeebies when I hear the amounts mentioned on the radio for people, what they pay out of their private pocket. We do offer this procedure in the government sector. For example, my Head and Joseph Clinic, obviously the cancer patients will take priority.
Yes.
Obviously there will be some payment, but it will be far less. And the costs are often not cost-related necessarily to doctors, but it's hospital costs, the cost of private hospital stays and everything. And I do think that breast reductions, there should be specialist clinics who deal with it, and where you go to people who specialize in the technique, because it is not as simple as just making the breast smaller. You have to look at all sorts of factors around blood supply and how you're going to do it. And it should be done with someone with a lot of experience. And I like audit in medicine. So in other words, people need to give you their outcomes, okay? How many complications? I mean, I had a very interesting conversation with one of the medical aides 2 days ago about they've got a pilot project on breast reduction, which is going really well, except that doctors keep on wanting to take patients back for complications around the pilot breast reduction. So where do you end? We need ethical medicine both from doctors and from medical funders. But it's a functional procedure, women with big breasts, as long as they can get their BMI down to 30. And remember, it's difficult for people to train with big breasts. So you've got to remember that 75% of your weight reduction is based on calorie and 25% exercise. But sitting on a stationary bike just to boost up your metabolism.
Right.
But it's very, very hard for these women.
Yes.
The bra size and the cutting and the thrush, they get a fungal infection under their breast. Very difficult.
Mm. Dr. Ben, just a last question in regard to the medical aids.
Carol,
thank you. So Carol, just a last question about the medical aids. I mean, in Jules Harding's case, all of the motivations were sent through by the doctors,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Pictures were taken. There was visual material. There was written material. And all of that was ignored because there was just a blanket answer that this is an exclusionary procedure.
So that's exactly the point. So when it comes to healthcare funding, and believe me, for me, that's why I'm not anti the concept of national health and that type of thing. But the concept is that there are exclusion criteria. So in other words, anyone who joins the medical aid, T's and T's, you will find at the bottom is that breast reductions, gynecomastia, maybe, for example, is there pregnancy-related complications, there are many things that they could write and say, it's like when you join anything, contract for anything, this is excluded.
Yes.
So no matter how much you motivate, no matter how much the doctor says the right thing, that particular medical aid or medical funders, or actually most of them, have chosen, they are refusing to fund. Now, if you decide to move from one medical aid to another for a procedure that medical aid funds, remember you have to declare it,
yes.
And there will be a time, like either a year or something, where they'll say it cannot be done within that period of time.
Right.
That medical aids are basically health insurance. So you're paying a large sum for what they're hoping you're only going to take a small amount out, just like car insurance or house insurance.
Right.
So that's the concept. So the doctors could have written, and I'm sure good colleagues wrote and motivated, but it would have been for no positive outcome because it's signed at the bottom, this is excluded.
Hmm.
So I do think we have to relook at structures. And I hear you on the patriarchy, and I hear you on historically in terms of how things are set up. But I do think that the main issues are around health economics. They look and say, if there's so many people, remember it's all the actuaries and the smart people who go, if we're going to need to do 100 cases of this per month, then actually we're not going to get significant amounts of funding in for the amount people are paying for their insurance.
Hmm.
So that's hard working.
All right, Dr. Ben or Carol. To have to cut you off there, but what an informative conversation with you. And thank you very much for putting us in the picture as well to how the medical aid schemes actually view this. Professor Carol Benn, she's of course a specialist in oncology and other areas involving surgery, particularly where women are concerned.